Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This is the best of the Eagles on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
All right, something Jalen Hurts said yesterday about the Eagles offense looking to counter the adjustments by opposing defenses. We'll get to that in 1 minute. Jalen on what's going on with the Eagles offense as they look to drill down on how to adjust things for this upcoming year. We'll get to that in 1 minute.
When couples walk into Benari Jewelers, they can't believe the selection of amazing engagement rings. I'm talking thousands of choices. If she's seen a ring she loves on Pinterest, they've got it at Benari. Halos, hidden halos, vintage, side stone rings, three stone rings, classic or contemporary, in white gold, yellow gold, rose gold, platinum. You can go with a simple solitaire or the most intricate design imaginable. Benari is an authorized retailer for all the top bridal designers. So if she's looking for a certain brand, like Tacori, Benari has the entire collection. And Benari's amazing associates are not retail clerks. They're true experts who specialize in helping you combine a beautiful, handcrafted ring with just the right diamond to make your dream ring a reality with no compromises. Don't select a ring that looks like everyone else's. She deserves something that reflects her unique style, taste, and personality, and you'll find it at Benari Jewelers, Exton and Newtown Square.
All right, show the camera, and John Rich. I just got a text from a buddy. I'm just going to put this out there. He says, listening to callers about Jalen, Joe, make sure you use Paul Skeens as an example. Not a bad point.
As an example.
Of someone who doesn't have stuff around them but yeah. Plays well.
Yeah. But that's a different sport.
Again, yeah.
But it is what it is. I mean, it's what it is.
But again, you overrate this. You put way too much. There are a lot of quarterbacks who have stuff around them. Joe Burrow has as arguably the best receiving duo in the 100%. Sport around him. Yeah, Patrick Mahomes has the best head coach, offensive coach we've ever seen in our lives, including a great offensive line every year. Like, I get your point, but I think you overrate it. There are so many great quarterbacks.
My retort. You ready?
I know you don't.
And I think you underrate it.
Yeah, that's fair.
All right, let's listen to Jalen talking yesterday about how the Eagles offense could counter the adjustments by defenses. Here's what he said.
Teams will obviously adapt to what he did last year. So I guess how can you guys as an offense kind of adjust to their adjustments?
Well, they have to pick their poison. And so it's just a matter of going out there and executing. You know, we got to make sure we're in a good position to go do what we're going to do. And then, you know, when someone gets an opportunity to make something happen, make it happen.
And that's certainly what he did in the Super Bowl, because it was very obvious. KC loaded the box to stop Saquon. They did. They were one of the very few teams that limited Saquon to the point where he was incredibly limited. and Jalen feasted. And that was a tremendous credit to him that he was able to do that. Let's go to the phone.
So why do we start this season as that's like we're resetting and saying that you're concerned he's not able to do that?
Well, I don't think he'll do it to that extent that often.
Why?
Because I've seen him play enough that I think what happened in the Super Bowl is more of an aberration than the norm. But we'll see.
What about the game before that?
He was
so we had two aberrations in a row.
Well, what about the four months before that?
I understand that.
It was a new offense with a new coordinator.
Jalen in the passing game, regular season, passing game, great, good, mediocre.
I would go good. Because I had problems.
Let's get everyone on the record. Play caller.
Great, good, or mediocre?
I would say good in the passing game.
Devin,
good.
John?
Good. Okay. With a new
mediocre
offensive play caller and coordinator.
What's that?
A new offensive play caller and coordinator every year. The only year he's had the same guy 2 years in a row was Shane Steichen, and we went to the Super Bowl and lost. Yep. And you remember how much better he looked in year
two. That was his best year. 2022 was his best year.
Imagine if he has multiple years with Kevin Petullo.
Let's listen to Saquon yesterday. He talked, his approach in the offseason and getting ready for the new season and the wear and tear and kind of what's going through his mind. Here's Saquon yesterday.
Was that hard for you to kind of like let your body rest? Probably, it seems like more so than you have in past years.
No. It wasn't hard because everyone that I trust told me basically sit down for a little bit. So in past years when I was younger, you think like, oh, someone's getting better than me, or I'm relaxing and I see Derrick Henry running hills, or I see Christian McCaffrey posting something. Like the old me would be like, oh, I gotta go. I still have that competitive nature, but two completely different seasons. So just listen to everyone. And when it's time to go, I've been going. And when it's time to back off, I've been backing off.
All right, so a couple things here. If you're just tuning in, we've had a lot of discussion today about will the Eagles dial back Saquon? Should they? And if they do, what happens? Do you trust Jalen in that moment more in the passing game? Do you trust Will Shipley more in that moment in the running game? Do you trust the Eagles' defense if the Eagles are less effective because they give the ball to Saquon less and now the defense has to hold it down? If the Eagles' offense isn't as good, and they wouldn't be as good if they don't give the ball to Saquon as much, I don't think. Interesting, and you can weigh in on all this, but an interesting thing from Ike Reese. So when Ike heard that yesterday, because he put out a tweet yesterday that specifically responded to that quote, and here's what Ike tweeted. He said, pay attention. I'm expecting a slower start to the season for Saquon. No worries. The smart play should be to ease him into his typical workload. Now, John, do you agree with Ike or do you disagree with Ike?
Slower start to ease him into his typical workload?
Because it kind of goes to what we're talking about today. What will their strategy be and what should it be?
I think, that should be if the back himself feels like he needs eased in, and I can't imagine why in the world he would ever feel that way. I think he wants as many touches as he can get whenever he can get them.
But they may need to make the decision for him. He may feel, look, he could be completely fine early. But the thing is, I'm trying to play that game in February, 2 years in a row.
I think that their sports science department, man, they are on top of all that. They've got the pedometer readings for everything that these guys do. They got the number of, they know the number of steps they've taken every day of every practice, every moment. They will have him right. And they're honing this whole process. Like, we are not just at the top of the NFL in, Howie Roseman, incredible job in terms of just personnel, identifying the coaches that we have here. Incredible job of identifying the talent, piecing it together, using the proper techniques and the plans for those skill sets. But now you're talking about something different types of skills, different types of sets.
All right, let's talk to Elliot Shore Parks because there should always be more football, and there will be today. The Eagles with an OTA. It's the mandatory kind, and Elliot is brought to us by Colonial Hyundai. Shop online 24/7 at colonialhyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the fast, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. They get together today, which means Elliot will be on the scene. Good morning, Elliot.
What up? How you guys doing?
Quite a bit, man. So tell us how this one came together, and then we'll get to what it entails. But one day, mandatory. These things used to be three. There was the one year they had zero. So how did they arrive at, like, let's do one day?
Yeah, so I think over the Sirianni time as a head coach, it's been a couple things. Early on, I think that he didn't do mandatory minicamps in an attempt to get players to come more throughout the voluntary part, and they traditionally have had very good attendance. I know this time around they've had very good attendance, so I think that's how it started. And then, you know, I believe last year they did 2 days, if I'm not mistaken, coming off the collapse, Vic Fangio in there, two new coordinators. But I think this time it's similar to how they have done it, where it's one day, but as a, you know, kind of a trade-off, they expect good attendance throughout voluntary part, and they've gotten that.
How much is
what does this day look like compared to those other days? Is this an extra long day that's more like a real old school training camp day with longer practice and meetings that go with it?
Yeah, so just based off the schedule, it feels more like a regular season type day. I don't know if they're doing it a bit later in the day simply because there's a chance of rain early on and maybe they wanted to push it back. They do have the full 90-man roster today, and that's hard to practice in the bubble with. So just in terms of a schedule, it feels more like a regular season day. And yeah, the practice will probably be longer than those voluntary ones. I think they have, you know, maybe a little under 2 hours, hour and a half on the books there for the schedule. So yeah, it'll feel more like a regular season day.
John, when you were doing this back in the day, how much of this was classroom time and how much of this was on field time?
It was split, just like during the regular season when you would come in every Wednesday and have a new game plan installed. This was during the off season. It was going back to square one and restarting, and you get the playbook. Here's day one. Here's our basic, you know, regular field plays, and we'll go from there. So it's going to be, I would think, of another fresh installation of the basics. But, you know, these guys are – this is great. This is the kind of thing that reinforces and guys get really sick of, players who've been in a system for a long time. Our quarterback has never been in a system for a long time. The one time he was in a system for 2 years
– this is his best year.
Was 2023.
22.
Was it? Okay.
21 into 22.
2023 Super Bowl was the culmination. Yeah, 2022. Yeah. So it was Shane Steichen's second year.
Right.
So let's hope we can find some stability with the offensive play caller.
No question. So Elliot, one of the things today that's fun for us on the outside is that we'll get to hear from Nick Sirianni. And I guess this will be the last time until training camp, I think. What are you curious to ask him about? I mean, things are pretty smooth. So what are the nature of the questions that you'd want to, like, what are you getting in there about?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's probably a better question than any I'll have for Sirianni today, honestly, because you figure, like, how many times in Sirianni's time with the Eagles has there been a press conference where we don't feel there is a pressing matter, right? Like, really, from the second he's been hired, it feels like there's been a lot of drama, for better lack of a better term. So I do think today is pretty standard. You know, I think that maybe asking him how he's going to handle Saquon, or how he has handled Saquon Barkley this offseason so far, at the two practices I've been at, Saquon has been there, but he's done very little teamwork. You know, maybe that's an attempt to kind of slow him down and to not get as many touches on his body throughout the offseason. You know, how things are going with Kevin Petullo, whether or not, you know, they've now had a full offseason together with him in a new role. So, yeah, you know, we're used to asking about, like, are you going to call plays? Do you still feel you have the same power? Is this guy going to show up? And for today, it feels like it's a, you know, pretty basic kind of day. But I guess that's what happens when you win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'll give you one. It's just going through my mind, and, I don't know if it merits being asked, but what his conversations have been like with Howie and Lurie, who have the experience in their chair of having won a Super Bowl, and then the team largely, let's say, took a big step backwards. You could say struggled. You could say took a step back. I mean, they finished 9-7, but it was nowhere near in 2018 what 2017 had been. And what advice they've given him based on what they saw from Doug?
Yeah. No, I think that's a great question. I mean, you also figure, to your point, like, we talk so much about why the Eagles are successful and all these things, and it's because they have people in positions of power that have really mostly seen everything. Obviously, Nick and Jalen have not been off of a season winning a Super Bowl, but once they complete this season, there's not much they will have not seen throughout their time here. Losing the Super Bowl, winning the Super Bowl, having a collapse, losing the playoffs. Like, they will have seen everything. So you're right. I mean, who is he leaned on? I know that Nick is somebody that, you know, just from being around him this offseason, he does spend a lot of his time calling other coaches that have been in a similar position, not always the same sport, but he's like a big like sports junkie in that way. Like, he loves to talk to basketball coaches. I know he's talked to Michael Johnson, the track star, came in and talked to the team. He's had NFL players come in and talk to the team, retired ones, obviously. So, yeah, I mean, I think that in terms of asking for advice, Nick's definitely big on that.
Have you had a chance to see the players?
What do you mean?
I mean, like, today.
Oh, no, not yet this morning. No. So yeah, Nick talks at 2:10 and then practice
later.
I believe is after that. So yeah, no, not yet. No, we didn't get breakfast.
So Elliot, let's talk about, obviously camp's coming up in 6 weeks and this is the last call before the guys have 6 weeks off and get together. How many jobs are up for grabs as a starting player? Is it three? Is it four? Is it five? Which spots are wide open for who starts?
Yeah, I think there's a few. You know, obviously, I think that safety spot next to Reed Blankenship is probably the most important one that is open. You know, that's the last line of defense in a lot of ways. So winning that job, I think that's a position where you could see them potentially make a move if they don't like what they see, yeah. You know, in that first week of training camp. And that's the other important thing about today. Today is the last day the players have to impress the coaches in the front office before these long 6 weeks. Like, yes, they're off. People will take vacations. But now that they've had this part of the offseason over with, they reconvene, sit down and say, okay, how do we feel about the roster now? Like, how did this guy do over the voluntary and mandatory part of the offseason? Like, is this a guy that we want to be a starter going into training camp? So safety, absolutely one of them. Cornerback, the spot opposite Quinion and Cooper, clearly Keely Ringo with Dory Jackson competing there. Tyler Steen seems to have a pretty good hold on that guard spot for right now. We'll see, you know, really when camp opens, where they're moving Kenyon Green with. Matt Pryor is a name to keep an eye on there. He has NFL experience. He's been with the team before, so he's been getting some, you know, some reps with that second team at that spot. So I would say the guard spot, the corner spot, and then obviously the safety spot.
With the cornerback spot, is there movement or rumor on Jair Alexander any further, Elliot?
Yeah, so he's a guy that does make a lot of sense for the Eagles. I mean, he checks almost every box of a player we talk about that the Eagles would have interest in, right? Undervalued, not that old yet. He's still only 28. I don't think he turns 29 until after the season, so you get his full year 28 season. I know he's only played 14 games the last 2 years, which is certainly noteworthy, but in those 14 games, he's been, you know, he's graded out just as good as or better than mostly every Eagles cornerback, I believe last year besides Cooper DeJean. So wow. He has played at a high level when he's been out on the field, and I think he's someone similar to James Bradbury prior to 2022. He's released late in free agency. He's going to want to go to a place he can increase his value. There might not be a better situation in the entire league than the Eagles for players to go and increase their value and cash in the next offseason. So, like I said, with camp ending today, this will be a chance for them to sit back down, see what they have, see who they like, and make a decision. But he definitely makes a sense for the team.
You know, we don't do a lot of talking about the special teams, but it's a pretty big deal when you switch long snappers. You got one, We had one for a long time. Now we have a new one. And are we set at that spot now, Elliot?
They certainly hope so. I mean, when you make a move to move on from Rick Lovato, someone that's been there for a long time, someone where, you know, the operation there between Jake Elliott, Brandon Mann, and him has been good. Now, last year, he didn't have his best year. I know, you know, week in and week out, we're not talking about long snapping, but I think the Eagles feel part of the reason Jake Elliott might have struggled is because of, you know, some of the snapping. So they make that move. They bring in a veteran guy. And yeah, I mean, it's his job to lose. Like, I'm not going to say he's a complete lock, because if he gets to camp and it's not going well, you know, they're not just going to stick with him. But I think by signing a veteran guy, they are hoping that they have that position solved.
No doubt. Elliot, good work, bud. We'll talk to you. Obviously, have fun with the OTA today. And we'll talk to you later this week. Thanks, pal.
Yep, sounds good. Talk to you guys later.
Elliot Sherparks. All right, now that we're in the long snapping zone, two famous long snapping stories related to Eagles. What are they? It's the last 30 years.
Well, Dornbos lying about his college tape.
That's one.
Yeah.
So for those that, Ruben, do you know this story?
I do know this story.
Okay, that's a great. And Rhea, you know this one?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So just for those that don't know, Dornbos high school player gets to a college by having someone else be the snapper. And he's like, choose me to be your long snapper, but it's someone else actually in the video. And the college is like, yeah, let's bring this guy in to be our long snapper. And then he developed it thereafter.
They never noticed.
Okay.
That's the most amazing thing.
Yeah. All right. What's the other famous Eagles long snapping story? This
is
one
that
had
the guy that got from the construction site?
No, that's touchdown T. That's Jeff Thomason. He was a tight end. But it's part of how Andy Reid got the gig. Andy Reid in the interview with I don't know if it was with Lori Ann Banner, but apparently he did a 45 minute.
Can you imagine doing 45 minutes on the long snapper? Oh my God.
Here's what you got to do. I have a good, special teams thing, And
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You know, a week ago, I want to jump off with some audio here, because a week ago when you were out, and I think we played this for you, but I want to play it again. So last Friday, we were at the Ron Jaworski golf outing, right? We had a lot of great guests on. Mm-hmm. One of them, though, was Joss. And a lot of this offseason, as we've projected the 2025 Eagles, we've thought a lot about what we just saw, and we kind of look ahead to what we might see this season. I feel like every time Saquon Barkley's name comes up, we're all in awe of what he did. But there's a pretty strong sentiment out there like, yeah, but he's probably not going to do that again. Like, there's almost no chance he does it again, what he just did last year, which was be the best back in the NFL, run for 2,000 yards. And if they let him play in that last game, he would have broke the NFL single-season rushing record. There's a feeling that, like, nah, there's no way he does it again. Well, Ron Jaworski last week, listen to Jaws here with us. This was a week ago at his golf outing. He doesn't feel that way. In fact, he feels he will do it again. Here's Jaws last week.
Without a doubt, he can do it again. He's healthy right now. The offensive line is going to be great. It's the same cast of characters.
Right.
I expect the offense to be tremendous, even better than it was last year. But injuries are always part of the game. And remember, the Giants lost interest, not totally interested in, but they thought he got hurt a lot.
Yeah.
He was really banged up a lot with New York. But look at that offensive line he had. It was a bad offensive line, took a lot of hits and before he even got going. So he got hit in the backfield an awful lot when he was with the Giants. Here he gets to dictate terms of engagement because he gets the line of scrimmage untouched. Now, he can make his move, and he's a slashing-type runner, and his lateral agility is second to none in the NFL. So if he stays healthy, I think he'll break the NFL rushing record. He would have broken it last year if we needed him to break it last year. We didn't because we iced things early, which is great, but he still is a phenomenal football back. And it's health when you talk about running backs.
If he stays healthy, he will break the NFL single-season rush record. That's what Joss told us last week. And, Hugh, the more I think about it, last year I was wrong about Saquon. Not that I didn't think he'd be a good player, because obviously he's a tremendous player. I didn't think he would have the impact he did. I was dead wrong. I mean, I didn't think it would change the team the way it did. I was dead wrong. So, sometimes you make a mistake and then you could double down or you could rethink the way you think. I'm out. I'm done on the doubting Saquon Barkley business. That's a world I lived in, and I'm out. So I'll tell you right now, and I know health is a huge part of it, but I would bet on Saquon Barkley to do it again. I know history says he probably can't or won't or is unlikely to. If I could bet on Saquon Barkley to do what he did again last year, I would bet on him. 215-592-9494. I would bet on Saquon to do it again in 2025, even after all the rushing attempts, even after everything last year. I think the guy is a special, special athlete playing on a special team with the best offensive line we've seen in the NFL in a long time and a quarterback that makes his life easier in the run game. I think he's going to do it again. Hugh, where do you come down on Saquon after all the touches, after the special year? We know you're a sharp now. You're a big bettor. Would you bet on him to do it again?
You know, I have a tremendous amount of respect for Jaws. Jaws watches a lot of film, and he's broken down a lot of film in his years, man. Mm-hmm. And there is something to what he's saying. You know, when he's talking about dictating the terms of engagement and all that other good stuff. I mean, Jaws dropped some knowledge when he made that comment. And I do tend to lean towards Jaws. But since we're talking about my five-leg parlay
your bets.
If you're asking me, would I drop a bet on Saquon Barkley breaking a single season rushing record, $2? No, I'm not about to do that. I just don't think that's going to happen. I think he's going to get close. I think he's going to have a hell of a year. I think he's going to be a Pro Bowler again this year. But the way the defense is going to play him, the way that this offense is going to evolve, I think it's going to be hard to get to that record. Now, if you say $2 bet on like 1,500 rushing yards this year, I'll take that one.
Yeah, but that's not that's
I'll take that one.
That's child's play compared to last year.
Well, no, because it's not. Let me tell you.
But compared to last year.
Dude, I did it again.
You all right over there? He's a good player. 17 and a half sacks last year.
I like Trey.
Excuse me.
I did it again.
Oh, no.
Oh, this guy. It's only 10:07. We got hours to go today. Lock in.
You weren't. That one. Hold on. Because last time you were talking about I was drinking water. What was that?
It was like a mid burp, and I don't know what happened.
Mid burp in the middle of a segment.
Y'all leave
we're mid burping.
Leave me alone.
Oh, I got a bad feeling about today. We're in trouble.
But I just think the teams are going to play him differently. It's going to be tough sled. Like, Saquon's a hell of a player, no question. That's why I said 1,500 yards. I think he gets that in his sleep. But to do what he did, like, Kyle, stop laughing.
Do it again. Is he going to do it again?
No, I don't think
so. Oh, you know, Hater Hugh has arrived today. Doubting Saquon, doubting Douglas over
Hold
here.
On. This one might be worse.
Is it worse than Trey?
Yeah, let me rip it real quick. It's bad.
All right, 215-592-949. Well, Kyle works on that. I would bet on Saquon to do it again. I doubted him last year. I think he has the ability to do this again. And I think with the offensive line here and his health, you know, he didn't get hurt last year, right? It's not like he ended the season banged up. He ended the season healthy. And what, you know, I understand all the numbers, and you could look at different running backs, right? There's been a lot of guys that have had this many touches and then they fall off a cliff. I get it. I mean, we watched it a year ago. Christian McCaffrey, right? Christian McCaffrey 2 years ago was the best back in the league. And then last year was a disaster with Achilles injuries and all that. So I understand the history of all this. But once in a while, there is a great back that is going for a stretch of time where he's greater than everyone else, right? It's not just 1 year. I mean, we have one-hit wonders, and maybe Christian McCaffrey ends up as, like, he just has one special year. But Terrell Davis, 97-98, he had back-to-back years where
he went back-to-back.
He went back-to-back. I would say Barry Sanders, 96-97, he went back-to-back. Marshall Faulk, 99-2000, he went back-to-back. And it's not all exactly the same number, like the exact same rushing yards, but back-to-back years, they dominated the sport. Emmitt Smith, 93-94. And I look at Saquon, And I say he's healthy. He's behind the best offensive line. And as much as a lot of people think they're going to evolve the offense, we'll see. We'll see. I'm not sold the Eagles, when push comes to shove, are going to take the ball out of their best player's hands and put it in the quarterback's hands more. They tried that last year, and it didn't work. And I know what works here, and that's running the football with Saquon Barkley. 215-592-9494. Can we hear from Jeff Darlington? He was on ESPN recently talking about Saquon, and he said something interesting about him that I don't know if I've ever heard it said this way. Here's Jeff Darlington on Saquon and his future.
I think it is repeatable, quite honestly. Now, Kevin Petula, the new offensive coordinator, has been there. He was there for the Super Bowl. He understands the way that Kellen Moore got this offense going with Saquon. So I don't expect them to change it that much. Quite frankly, they found the recipe for success, and it is put the ball in the hands of Saquon Barkley. The other component to this that could actually add to it is if teams do somehow decide to figure out, I know they haven't yet, to stop the tush push, you could actually see Saquon's touchdown totals go up even higher. So to me, I know it sounds crazy, but I don't necessarily know that we've seen Saquon's ceiling. It was obviously a historic season, but I think that that's just because this is an historic player.
I think that's the way he said it at the end. Sometimes you got to wrap your mind around that. Yeah, was it a historic season? Yeah, but we are watching a there's a reason back in the day he was taken number two in the draft, right? Like, even though running backs probably shouldn't go that high, and it was a bad pick for that particular team because they didn't have anything else, he got picked number two for a reason. He's a special talent. 215-592-9494. Would you bet on Saquon to do it again? I would. Doubting Douglas over here. Can't believe this. He would not bet on Saquon to do it again. Where do you come down? Kyle, what do you got? And then you got to let us hear what the heck you said a few minutes ago.
I'm doing my best to lock in here. Yeah. But
This guy's unbelievable.
It's out of control.
10:07.
I'm the resident running back guy. Amongst our peers at the radio station,
you're
but especially
one of the
on the
ones.
Show.
Yeah.
Yep.
Big time.
And I was huge on getting Saquon here, very high on the season that he was going to have last season. I think you're going to lose your money if you bet on him doing it again. And it's less about just, I don't want to go through the whole history thing.
I thought you don't like history.
I don't. Mm. But this is statistical regression. Like, this is basic math, fellas. Like, when you have as good of a season as you have the year before, it's just not likely that he's going to repeat it again. And, like, nobody's repeated it again. Right? What, Terrell Davis did, like, the 90s, something like that? But nobody's had back-to-back 2,000-yard seasons. And I understand what Jaws is saying. Like, if he's healthy, he could do it again. Like, he's a great, very talented player, and he's in such a good situation. But we have to be realistic. He said if he's healthy, I don't know if I can just count on that. Like, Saquon has a history of not being a very healthy running back. Last season was the healthiest he's been in a season in the NFL. And then you also have to factor this in. The Eagles' offensive coordinator was their pass game coordinator last year. I think they're going to come out trying to throw the ball. I think defenses are going to make them have to throw the ball because, I don't know if the Super Bowl was the blueprint for Saquon, but the Chiefs did a really good job stopping Saquon. And the book just might be out on him now. I think it would be crazy to bet on him to do it again. Now, would I be shocked if he had like a 1,400-yard season? No, I wouldn't be shocked at that. And I think that would be okay if the Eagles can make up for it in the passing game. But I wouldn't bet on him having another offensive player of the year type season.
1,400 yards? That's a 600-yard dip from last year.
Good running back
that's
season.
That's a good season.
Yeah, but that's
man.
Not what we just had. That's a huge difference, wouldn't you say? 2,000 to 1,400?
Of course. But because 2,000 yards is like insane.
Well, it was a special year, but he's an insane player. All right, 215-592-9494. I've learned my lesson. I would bet on Saquon to do it again. I'm out of the doubting Saquon business. Hugh Douglas apparently is in the doubting Saquon business. Where do you come down? Saquon Barkley, there's just been this feeling out there since the end of last season, like, yeah, he's never going to do this again. Why? He's a special player. He came out of last year healthy. The Eagles are obviously going to take care of him in training camp. I don't imagine he's going to be out there in every single drill. They're going to protect his body. And when the games start behind this offensive line and with a quarterback that every time I bring up Jalen Hurts, they say, Joe, you got to give him credit. He makes the run game better. Well, he makes the run game better. Every running back that plays next to Jalen Hurts seems to produce more than they did before. So I don't see any reason why. I go into the season expecting excellence out of Saquon Barkley. Where do you guys come down? 215-592-9494. Would you bet on Saquon to do it again? But Hugh, yesterday, it happened towards the end of our show. It happens like a lot towards the end of our show where we get into the Jalen Hurts discussion and then we don't really have enough time to flesh it out. So you know what we said today? Let's just do it from the jump. All right, so there's a lot of different angles to discuss about Jalen Hurts and the player he is right now, the player he was last year, and kind of where he ranks in the whole NFL at this point. But one thing that keeps coming up every time these discussions are had, whether it be PFF's list or Chris Sims' list or just all of us giving our just like raw take on Jalen and kind of what level of quarterback he is right now, is just how much and how fair it is to bring up his supporting cast in these discussions, right? There's a lot that goes into this. There's the individual statistics. Mm-hmm. There is the accolades in terms of MVPs. There's winning, right? How much winning you do in your career as a quarterback over mm-hmm. time. That's all part of it. And then there's the element of like, well, he has this, right? And then that quarterback has this. And if you switch the two quarterbacks, here's what would happen. So, Hugh, I know this is something that kind of sticks in your craw. So let's start here. Is it fair to bring up Jalen Hurts' supporting cast when we do all these rankings? Is it fair to continually cite, hey, he's got all these good players around him? Hugh, where do you come down on this? Because it's inevitable. It comes up in every quarterback debate. Like, okay, this guy is good. This guy is great. And also he has this or he's deficient here or he doesn't have that. How much is fair? Is it fair?
I don't think it's fair because it feels like that has become the conversation more as we progress and we get older about athletes. I think it was fair when I look at it like this, Joe. I'm a long talk just a
okay,
little bit.
Okay, here we go.
Because in the NBA, there were years where you had to – the model of winning is that you had to have a superstar.
Sure, or multiple.
Or multiple superstars because there were the league was saturated with a bunch of teams, and it was harder to find quality players. And that's basically the case in the NBA because when we talk about the draft, and we've talked about it for years, if you're not drafting in the top five – in the NBA is basically a crapshoot because of the talent that's out there, the talent pool that's out there, and the teams that are looking for talent. I grew up in an era where, you know, there's no I in team. And the one sport that was always preached to me that's the only true team sport was football. And, you know, you all those cliches that you think about, the chain is only strong as its weakest link and all that, that's the embodiment of football back when I played. And it just feels like as we've evolved through this whole football thing and, you know, trying to rate the better quarterbacks and stuff like that, that we've gotten to a point that now it's penalized. It's a penalty for a quarterback to have good talent around him. But look at it like this, people. Everybody that plays in the NFL is talented. Everybody doesn't make it to the NFL. So now we want to say that Jalen isn't this, that, or the third. And I know physically he's not matched up with those other guys we talking about on individual talent. But now we want to penalize Jalen because Howie Roseman is a Hall of Fame GM. That, to me, I just think that's one of those conversations that's had where it's like you have no other argument for it because it's unquantifiable. Unquantifiable intangibles. So that's the one that you go to.
All right, so here's where I come down on this. So I understand the idea that there most teams that are good, if not every team that is good or great, has a lot of talent, right? It's just it's almost how much does one team have versus they're all good, right? Mm-hmm. They all have no quarterback that wins a Super Bowl does it by themselves. That is obvious and clear, and we know this. But I do think it's like for me, it's like the tiebreaker, right? Because they all have something. Like Patrick Mahomes has Andy Reid, that's a huge advantage. Mm-hmm. He is one of the greatest coaches of all time. They all have something. But I think it is fair to bring it up because it's football is the one thing. Like I mentioned this the other day, baseball. Aaron Judge hits 60 home runs. Bryce Harper hits 30. I mean, I don't. The supporting cast doesn't matter. Aaron Judge hits more home runs. He's probably a better player. I mean, that's just the bottom line. You don't need to kind of parse anything else besides he just produces more on an individual basis. Football, you said it, Hugh, is a team sport. So it's difficult to just look at the numbers raw the way they are and say, well, this is who's better because some guys play with a bad defense, so they have to throw the football more, right? They have to put up more yards, all that kind of stuff. I just look at it like this. Jalen Hurts is a really good player. He's a really good quarterback. But he does have the best team in the NFL around him. So when I bring that up, it's almost like I can't ignore that. I can't ignore. Is he a winner? Yes. But is he a winner in part because he plays for the Eagles and the Eagles have all this talent? Yeah, I think that's part of the story, that he wins because he is a big part of the best overall roster in the NFL.
And I understand that, Joe, but let's flip this story a little
bit.
And look at, and I'm going to use Patrick Mahomes as an example, because Patrick Mahomes got drafted from Texas Tech, and Coach Reed, he jumped up a few spots to get him.
Yes.
Because
more than a few spots. They went from like 28 to 10. Yeah, yes, they jumped
They jumped up a few spots to get him because Andy Reid recognized something in him that nobody else saw. So much so that Andy got criticized for doing that, and they thought it was a little bit of a reach.
Well, that Alex Smith, they were winning anyway, yeah.
And you know what? When Patrick Mahomes, his last two seasons at Texas Tech, was two seasons at Texas Tech, he was 13-16. That's not a winning record. That's not something that if you look at a quarterback and say, oh, well, he didn't win because he didn't have talent around him.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So now you put talent around him, and now he's the best quarterback in the NFL. You see where I'm going with this? So he's not getting penalized because he was a guy that in college didn't have the great numbers. He didn't put up the great numbers in college like most quarterbacks did, but something inside of him, Big Red recognized, and he jumped up and got him. Now he's considered the best quarterback playing in the NFL.
You mentioned, he is. I believe he is the best quarterback in the NFL. Yesterday we had some people saying he's not, and Jalen Hurts is. I feel like we've gotten too sensitive with the Hurts stuff. It's weird because he's at his height right now, right? Like a year ago, Jalen Hurts was probably at one of his lowest points. The way we talked about him, coming off a tough year, they lost the first round. He didn't play well in the playoffs. I feel like we are more sensitive now, even though we all agree he's a winner and a champion. It's weird. It's almost like, I'll just use five, right? Five isn't enough, like the ranking. Five isn't enough. We have to put him one. He's not one. He's five. I think that's okay to put him there. And we argue these things. I'm going to make this example. I'm going to go back in time for a little bit here for a second. I don't think this is a Jalen thing. I think it's every generation has a quarterback that is kind of in this realm, right? And I'll go back 12 years ago. It was Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson's a heck of a player. Or he was. Right now he's old. Mm-hmm. He was a heck of a player. But he did have the best roster in the NFL around him for a couple years. They got to back-to-back Super Bowls. He won one. He outplayed Peyton Manning and dominated the game. But I never thought then that Russell was better than Peyton, better than Brady, better than Rodgers, better than Brees. I just didn't think he was as... He was close, right? He was, I think, the fifth best quarterback in that era, and he was really good. I just never thought he was as good as... He just had more players around him in those moments. I'll go back to a guy that came up yesterday, Hugh, and I think it's funny and ironic that it's a Cowboy, and the Eagles are kind of becoming maybe a dynasty like that team was. Troy Aikman.
Yeah.
I didn't think Troy Aikman, and I was younger then, but I didn't think he was as good as Dan Marino. Dan Marino had a better arm.
Dan Marino was that
right.
Dude.
Dan Marino was better, but Dan Marino won nothing, and Troy Aikman won three Super Bowls. I didn't think he was as good as Brett Favre, even. And Brett Favre didn't win as much as Troy Aikman. I think every generation has this. I'll use a baseball example, because I love baseball. Derek Jeter. Derek Jeter played for the Yankees. They were a dynasty. They had all those great players, the best roster by far in baseball. And he was a winner. And he was his own great player. But I mean, he wasn't Barry Bonds. He wasn't as good as Ken Griffey Jr., who won nothing in his career. But he was on a great team. I think it's fair to bring up the supporting cast because I feel like it's the tiebreaker. 215-592-9494. We've gotten very sensitive on Hurts. And that's the way I feel. But certainly, I think this is not even a debate. When this comes up, it always comes back to the supporting cast. Well, it's like part of the discussion every day.
It's a trigger warning because I'm going to tell you, Joe, and I know that a lot of snowflakes are going to get a little sensitive about what I'm going to say.
Uh-oh.
It's because when I hear it, it's almost like, okay, why aren't you making these excuses for the guy that doesn't look like Jalen Hurts, like Peyton Manning's and the Tom? Well, I think Tom Brady's a unicorn because the simple fact that Tom Brady did it with multiple different receivers.
Of course, yeah.
So that's a little bit of an outlier. But when we talk about Justin Herbert and things of that nature, yeah, if you want to sit here and tell me individually that they're more physically gifted than Jalen, I can't argue that. If you want to say Josh Allen is more physically gifted than Jalen, that's not an argument I can have because you're right. But Jalen has something. Those unquantifiable intangibles, the same thing that Andy Reid saw in Patrick Mahomes that made him jump up as high as he did to get him, even though Patrick Mahomes' numbers in college wasn't that great, that made him jump up and get him and take him where he did, and everybody in the NFL looking like, dog, Big Red, what you doing? it's kind of the same thing. And that's how I look at Jalen. Jalen is an anomaly to in this sense, is that I sat in the press box all year long and I heard people complain about his play.
And I think at times fairly.
And it was fair. Yeah. Like, and that's, I'm not arguing that, because there were times where you look at him like, what the hell is he doing?
Yeah, we're all scratched our head, yeah.
But he found a way to get the job done. And at the end of the day, you ever heard that old saying, by hook or by crook?
Yes.
That's what he did.
But how much of that is because the team allowed, the team at times allowed him to work through his issues. If
yes.
If he was on a worse team, maybe he wouldn't have been afforded that opportunity.
But you're right. But I also look at Jalen as a guy who, in this day and age, because there's a lot. Like, for me, when I talk about Jalen and his greatness, in my opinion, it's not only the quarterback play, it's the adversity that he's endured throughout his whole career, and he's handled it with grace.
Well, that's true.
Look at every other quarterback. Look at every other player in this era of the NFL. Look at, what's his name? Ayahuasca dude. The one that just
signed.
Look how dysfunctional he is and how much of a me person he is. And he went from being one of the most liked quarterbacks now to being that guy that what they call a D-bag. Yeah, can I say that on here? Yeah.
Well, you did.
Too late. Yeah.
But I'm just saying.
Oh, well.
And people look at him because he has character flaws.
Yeah, clearly.
And Jalen, throughout all of that, has remained graceful and steadfast in the way that he's acted.
Well, I agree with that.
And in this day and age, to me, that counts for a lot.
It makes him likable and admirable. Does it make him better than a top five quarter? Not to me. 215-592-9494. Let's hear Chris Sims here. He recently put out his list, got everyone all upset on Monday. He put him at number 10. I think that's too low. I'd put Jalen higher than 10 right now. But this line from his explanation, I thought, resonated with a lot of people. It resonated with me. Here it was. Yeah.
But with him saying all that and all his skill set and the leadership and the mental strength and all that, is he perfect? No. There's a reason he's at number 10. And there's still flaws in his football game that need to be addressed, need to be fixed. And, you know, they win the game still with him not playing perfect. And this is where, again, I do the dirty work to go, let me decipher here. Right, but there's no quarterback in football that has more advantages on the field at the position than Jalen Hurts.
That part I agree with, and I think it's fair to bring that up. And we got to parse how much that matters and where you rank him. I agree, it's the best offensive line, it's the best running back, it's the best pair of wide receivers, it's an above average tight end. I mean, there's no one else that has all that. Now, other teams have. I'm not saying no one. The other guys have nothing, right? Burrow has two great receivers. That's the dominant pair, probably the best receiver in the league in Jamar Chase. He doesn't have this offensive line. He doesn't have a running back close to Saquon, and he doesn't have a defense. So, like, that's his issue, right? Every one of them have something that's like, that part of the team. Look at the Chiefs' offensive line. It's why the Eagles ran through them. That offensive line was deficient at the end of the season. No one has what Jalen has in terms of all the stuff he has, including the defense. No one has it.
You know what? I look at it like this. Okay, and I'm going to try to say it in a way that people understand. You know, we have a big race coming up here in a couple weeks in Dover with NASCAR,
okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So there's, you know, all these skilled drivers and everything. These cars are all set up the same. NASCAR is basically, by law, NASCAR law, they all have to have the same specs. They all have to have the same dimensions, like run the same kind of engines.
Okay.
It all depends on what type of tires you want to run and how you want to schedule, you know, handle your pit crew or manage your pit crew. You got to have a driver. You got to have, because everything's the same, but you have to have somebody that's able to handle. Like, I'm not going to jump into NASCAR
right. And
go out there and race, even though I have all of that stuff that's going to help me win that, be effective in that race. You still got to have that guy. So Jalen Hurts, to me, is that guy he's the right driver for this team.
That I agree. I have no debate on that. Where I disagree, and 215-592-9494, is I don't think that's NASCAR. I think in the NFL, like, Jalen has better tires. Like, he has a better engine. Like,
but that's the NFL in a nutshell.
I know, I know, but that's why I can't put him at the top, because he's got some advantage. All right, Kyle, what do you think? Then we'll get to the phone lines here. Is it fair
yeah.
to talk about his supporting cast. We rank him.
Yeah. So, you know, we talk about Super Bowl syndrome.
Yes.
There's another.
Uh-oh.
There's another epidemic going out there.
Personal attacks.
We have epidemics.
It's called Jalen Hurts derangement syndrome.
Yeah, we're there.
Because, look, this only became like a sensitive subject, the supporting cast thing. I never like heard this as a bone of contention until we started talking about where Jalen Hurts ranks among NFL quarterbacks. Like, we always in every sport, especially for quarterbacks and especially in football, bring up who the player has around them. Like, it's a thing. It matters. For Brady and Belichick for years, it was, well, Tom Brady had Bill Belichick. Well, Bill Belichick had Tom Brady. Like, these are things that people talk about all the time. And Patrick Mahomes has Andy Reid, like, et cetera, et cetera. We always have done this. But now, all of a sudden, when you mention that Jalen Hurts is not better than Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes because he has one of the best teams surrounding him, it's a huge problem. Like, I've learned that we only want to have this one way. And you can't. Like, or no, people want to have it both ways. And they can't do it. You know why? I go back to, because let's put everything together here. It's the defense, it's the wide receivers, it's the running back, the O-line, and it's the coaching. I go back to 2023. Jalen Hurts had a terrible season, and all we heard was Brian Johnson. So if it's fair to bring up Brian Johnson and why he has a bad season, why is it unfair to bring up the support system that he has when he has a really good season? I think both things should be allowed to be true, right? And I seem to remember, you remember 2019, Joe? And the season that Carson Wentz had.
Oh, how could I forget?
And how impressive it was that he had 4,000 yards.
What was the line everyone used? He dragged lawn chairs to the playoffs?
Yeah. It was 4,000-yard season with no wide receiver having more than 500 yards on the team. It was Greg Ward. It was all these other tomato can wide receivers.
Perkins was one of the tight ends.
But we use that as, wow, what an impressive season Carson Wentz has. Yeah. When a quarterback drags a bad team to the playoffs, or like Burrow winning 9 games last year with the crap that he had on defense, it's impressive. So why isn't it the other way? I just can't wrap my head around it. I can't.
And I can't ignore it. Like, this is it might be the best roster we've seen in the NFL in 10 years. That's part of the story with Jalen Hurts and why he's a winner right now.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
We've officially, as most of the fan base and most of the listeners of this radio station, social media, all this stuff, like, we've just overrated what Jalen Hurts did this year. And I didn't think that could be possible for a guy that won Super Bowl MVP, but we found a way to do it. And I just, all I've heard all day is how like the supporting cast actually doesn't matter when evaluating Jalen Hurts, and he should be the number one athlete in this city, and he being not in the elite tier as ranked by officials out there, like all of a sudden like he is being put into a class that I don't think he belongs in. And we're doing what I knew what we were going to do. Is we diminish what Saquon Barkley did last year. And Saquon Barkley is not going to be remembered as the face of last year, because we're starting to do what we always do, is we overrate championships sometimes in this town and what it means to a player's legacy. And we are. In week 14, the wide receiver came out and said the passing game is the biggest problem with the team. Yeah. He was a fine player last year. He was a game manager last year. Yeah. And there was times in the second half that he handed off to Saquon, and Saquon broke one, and they would win a game. And they would eventually blow him out because Saquon Barkley was that great. And I just think that I'm glad they won the Super Bowl, obviously. Mm-hmm. But holy cow. 18 passing touchdowns, not a Pro Bowl. Now he has to be in the elite category.
Stop with the Pro Bowl.
I can't. The Pro Bowl's a joke. Couldn't even make it with a 14-15 win team. Like that's how okay he was last year. And he had two great games. Even the Super Bowl performance, it was the defense that carried him. We've found a way to overrate what Jalen Hurts did last year.
Well, here's the thing, and I'm listening to guys, and I you know what? It's not that I admire you guys, I'm actually baffled and befuddled by the gymnastics that I see displayed with certain guys behind these microphones on a daily basis at this station when it pertains to Jalen Hurts. And why it's so hard and difficult for you guys to just embrace and accept that you have a franchise quarterback who wins at an elite level, who plays at an elite level when it's required of him the majority of time. That's what he does. It's what you wanted from a quarterback for years. Think about all the quarterbacks that had the talent. Is he the most talented quarterback that has played here? No. I could argue Randall, Donovan, Carson, and Mike Vick all had more physical ability than Jalen Hurts. I can argue that with no problem, right? I would argue that. They had more physical talent than Jalen Hurts. And with the exception of my QB, shout out to Five. And by the way, let me just real quick. The idea that I had a slip-up yesterday.
There it is. Yeah. Here comes the recant.
Yes, and I had a slip-up yesterday.
What was the slip-up?
Well, some caller wanted to bring – who was it? I forget which caller. Was it Corey? I think it might have been Corey. He was talking. He was going on and on. And you know how sometimes I'm looking at stuff, but I'm listening.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I wasn't you tune out for a second.
Completely.
Oh,
yes.
He was like, Donovan was a choker. We all know that.
And I just agreed nonchalantly. Okay. Like, yeah.
Okay. Yes. So clear that up.
Clear that nonsense.
Yeah, something. It's a lot of calls.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So we got that out of the way. What I'm ultimately trying to say is that Jalen may not be the most physically gifted guy, but there is something about the way that he plays, when he answers the call, when he needs to play well. And here's the other thing. Here's what I'll say, that we here, I can understand people on the outside not necessarily getting it, but us here on the inside, it's not easy to be that guy in this city. You're constantly under a microscope. Even when you play well and you have success, which is evident by what we're talking about today about a Super Bowl MVP.
Sure.
It's not easy to play that position. The dude never cracks. He doesn't succumb to us. He doesn't fold. He doesn't become bitter. He doesn't become resentful. He's not going back and forth on social media. Like, he's not doing all, he's not putting up a hit list of media members that I'm trying to get back. And you know what I mean? He's not doing any of that stuff. He doesn't fold under the pressure here in this town, which we've seen a lot of stars in this town do. And he wins. He wins. He wins. I just don't get it. I don't get it. He's talking about overrating what Jalen did last year. Well, forget about the regular season and those stupid stats.
But it matters.
It's the postseason it matters the most.
But he wasn't even good until the NFC Championship game, where he handed the ball off and Saquon took it 75 yards in the first play of the game. Like, he had the best defense in the league. Like, he had the best offensive line, the best receivers, and Saquon Barkley. Like, again, Jalen needs the Eagles more than the Eagles need Jalen Hurts. And that's what was on display last season. And that's a different.
Don't start moving the goalposts.
I'm not moving the goalposts.
It's not about Jalen needing the Eagles more than the Eagles need Jalen. The Eagles are a great organization.
We agree.
A lot of players' careers coming here. So, yes, I agree with you that the Eagles, that other quarterbacks could come here and be successful. Although Sam Bradford stunk while he was here.
If he had the cast, who knows?
Well, do you remember that preseason game, 11 of 11? 215-592.
Still to this day, the only Eagles quarterback that I couldn't get behind.
You couldn't with the sleeves and the look on his face. 215-592-9494. Do we overrate what Jalen did last year? All right. Is it possible for me to sort of agree with both of you guys here? And I'm not usually a hedgeman, but I agree with everything you said, Ike. I have learned to appreciate that Jalen is not bothered by all of the pressure around him, which in Philadelphia is incredibly difficult. We've seen a lot of players crack under the pressure of here. I also agree, where I didn't really agree before, there is probably something to the always winning thing. I agree with that.
Has to be when you win.
I agree.
When the winning is this sustained, like, you got to give something to him.
I agree. All that said,
yeah,
I do agree with Jack in that we have gone overboard in the year that he had. And I thought about when I think of the top 11 list is that he really didn't have that great a season. Like, he was pretty good.
Regular
he was fine.
Season,
Regular season was fine.
Yep.
Did have a great game in the NFC Championship game, a great game in the Super Bowl, but still not even like, not, and he didn't have to, and that's not his fault, not put the team on his back type great, but he was great. He was perfect. He was exactly the way we wanted him.
Yeah.
But when it goes from that to all of a sudden, like, you know, he's right there with Patrick Mahomes, and he's like, it's like, do we have to go, like...
Well, listen.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes, I
agree. I concede.
There are some out there to go overboard with it.
Yes.
I
just want a sensible conversation. Can we have a sensible conversation about him?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't think we can. I think we jumped the shark. No, I think we jumped the shark. I
want
to talk to real, real Eagles fans.
Don't you go the other way.
I am not.
You tend to go the other way.
He had 18 passing touchdowns last year.
Well, listen, he can be placed in the category with Patrick Mahomes when it comes to winning. I mean, since 2020, they are the top two quarterbacks in wins in the NFL.
Yeah, I do think we...
Like that matters. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Check this out.
Yeah.
Since 2010.
Mm-hmm.
That's 15 years, right?
Yep.
It's 15 years. How many quarterbacks in the NFL... Oh, it's been a lot of good quarterbacks that have played since 2010. How many of them have played in multiple Super Bowls?
Three. Brady, yes. Mahomes, yes. Hurts, yes. Is that it? Am I forgetting
one? And Wilson.
Oh, Russell Wilson. Right.
Yep.
Okay, four.
That's it.
Yep.
That's it. Think about that. 15 years.
I know.
And all the great quarterbacks. Aaron Rodgers won four MVPs in that time span.
I know, but, so, okay, agreed. Agree on that point.
Yeah.
But nobody was saying that Russell Wilson was the best quarterback in the league until he started throwing touchdown passes.
Jalen's not the best quarterback in the league.
Okay.
So that's not my argument. That's not my argument. I'm not going there. I agree. Some people go over the top.
I do think he's like a one of those years away from being included in that class that you're including.
I'm just saying not many quarterbacks in a decade and a half have done. And there's been plenty of them that got more talent than he has.
Sure.
They haven't appeared in multiple. Like, Aaron Rodgers won four MVPs. He hasn't been in a Super Bowl since 2010.
But doesn't...
Since 2010. Hold on. Aaron Rodgers, one of the all-time greatest quarterbacks, talent-wise, couldn't find a way to get to another Super Bowl in 15 years.
But what that...
And he's had good teams. He's played at home. He's had championship games at home. Like, he lost to Jimmy Garoppolo scoring only 7 points. All I'm saying is that we just can't gloss over Jalen winning as if that's a given. When there are guys who've had who has more talent in them than Jalen who can't win as much. Like, the guy just gone to two Super Bowls and played well in both of them.
I agree, but when you say what you say about Aaron Rodgers, what that leads me to believe is we may be overrating the quarterback due to the success of the team. Because I don't think anything less of Aaron Rodgers because he only won a Super Bowl.
You don't?
No.
Bro, hold on. I'm gonna give you 2 or 3 minutes to think about that. Aaron Rodgers won 4 MVPs. You're trying to tell me in his 18-year career, it shouldn't be held against him that he has one Super Bowl appearance and one win.
I mean, it's part of the list.
Yeah, but that's a negative to own Aaron Rodgers. That's a negative. That he has one Super Bowl appearance with all the talent that he has? That's a negative. You got to hold that against him.
All right, fair.
Boom. Okay. I love you. Right. I love
fair.
You for that.
Fair,
that
that's cool. Okay.
Hey, listen, ladies and gentlemen, listen,
fair.
Mark this date down. That don't happen very often, what just happened
that's
right
fair.
There.
Yeah. Certainly yeah. not in one
the
minute.
Moment is what I'm
fair,
talking
fair,
about.
Fair.
Yes.
Fair, fair, fair.
All okay. right. All right. All right. Well, we have to. This is a good show the rest of the day. I'm good because I can't believe I got you to give it up.
That was a moment.
Do you want to go home?
That was quick.
Do you want to go home? Ike's done. Ike's done.
Yeah, yeah. I'm actually shocked by that.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Fair enough. Well, because I might need that in a future argument. I'm not a checkers player. I'm a chess player. I might need that another time.
You know, you made me think of something yesterday, Ike, and Corey from Columbus made me think of something, right? Yeah. And you made me think of something when we were talking about Jaire Alexander, who a two-time Pro Bowl cornerback that the Packers let go is now a free agent.
Really like him.
And you were saying, like, go get him. I want him on the team. You know, Keely Ringo, maybe. Adoree Jackson, maybe. But I want Jaire Alexander. Mm-hmm. And then Corey, our very, very, very loyal foxhole guy, Corey calls up. Yeah. And we were talking about Trey Hendrickson, and we were talking about Jaire Alexander. And we said, which one do you want? And he's like, I want both. I'm trying to win a Super Bowl this year. And I'm like, oh, there we go. There's the Eagles fans I know. And then T.J. Watt, also in a contract dispute, also not at camp, also potentially available. And for most of these guys, you know, when they first start having these disputes, whether it's T.J. Watt or Trey Hendrickson, we're talking about first-round pick, second round, you know, two first, blah, 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 blah. But we're not in that situation anymore. It feels like, you know, Midday Show had somebody on that said, you get Trey Hendrickson for a second-round pick. And we have, like, 25, you know, draft picks next year. Mm-hmm. And I'm just thinking to myself, like, I know it is deep inside everyone that we want to go get one of these guys. And we've had one of these off seasons that if it was not an off season after winning a Super Bowl, people would be scratching their heads, you know, pitchforks outside the NovaCare.
Yeah.
What are we doing? Why are we playing? I don't want – this is the time where we have a team. And I look at the rest of the NFC, by the way, and I see good teams, but I don't see anybody that, like, is I'm terrified of, right?
Yeah.
So I want to go win a Super Bowl this year. So I want Howie Roseman to take one of those draft picks he has next year and either go get T.J. Watt or go get Trey Hendrickson or not spend any draft picks and go spend some of Jeffrey Lurie's money and go get Jaire Alexander, because if they want to win a Super Bowl this year, put some distance between you and the rest of the teams and be serious about winning a Super Bowl, not just if we get there, it's great. Because the attitude to me from the Eagles this year has been, we won one, if we get there next year, it's great, but we don't need to double down this year and overspend. And I just, like, there are players available that can make you better at positions of need, and if they're serious about winning a Super Bowl, they'll go get one of these guys.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. The last part of what you just said about we won a Super Bowl, if we get back there and win another one by being smart and that happens, that's great. But I'm not going to overspend for anybody to go overboard and basically sacrifice, whether it's future cap space, whether it's the ability to take young talent high in a draft so that you can continue doing what you're doing, because you got to replenish this talent as guys get a little bit older and you got to move on. I'm perfectly fine with that too. Because here's the thing. If I'm sitting here right now today, Spike,
And this isn't me in the moment. This is me saying, whether those guys were available or not, the Eagles are the favorite to win the Super Bowl this year. Whether they have those guys on the roster or not. They're the best roster in the league. They're the best roster in the league, top to bottom. Sure, it'd be nice if they can add those guys, and if they can get them for the right price, then I'm all for it. I don't think the ends position is solidified enough that I could say, well, I don't want Trey Hendrickson or T.J. Watt. No. Hell yeah, I want those guys for the right price. Our cornerback situation, opposite of Quinyon Mitchell. Yes, Keely Ringo's nice. After that, Dory Jackson, all right. If you're going to add Jair Alexander for the right price to go opposite Quinyon Mitchell, I'm on board with it. I'm on board with it. I really am. But I'm not going to overspend for these guys because you do have the luxury of you just won the Super Bowl. Had you lost in the Super Bowl or the NFC Championship game, and if we feel like we're this close and we needed something to get us over the edge, then sure, you make that move because you're desperate enough to do that because you hadn't won it. But when you win the Super Bowl, it gives you a little freedom and wiggle room to operate as if you're not desperate and you can be smart. How about this? Jair Alexander chooses the Philadelphia Eagles. He takes a good deal to come play for the Eagles. Now, Trey Hendrickson and T.J. Watt, that's going to cost you. It just is. It's going to cost you high draft picks. And T.J. Watt, my goodness, I was willing to give up first-round picks, so I'm good with that.
Well, you compared his numbers. You look at him versus Myles Garrett, and yes, there's not really much of a difference.
Both are Hall of Fame, future Hall of Famers. Both has been multiple defensive player of the year. Yeah, I take T.J. Watt in a heartbeat. Upgrade your defense in a heartbeat. If you want to give up next year's first-round pick for T.J. Watt right now, go right ahead. I'm not opposed to it. I'm good with it. You want to give T.J. Watt a contract so that we have T.J. Watt for the next 4 or 5 years? I'm fine with it because I'm going to assume they're going to make the money work. What I'm pushing back against is if they don't do it, somehow we still aren't the best team in the NFL, and we are. We just are. Like that's the luxury that they have, that their level of talent is that good that it's a luxury to add a T.J. Watt or a Jair Alexander or Trey Hendrickson. Most teams, that's a need. That's a necessity. They got to overpay for those guys. For the Eagles, they don't have to do that. They don't have to do that.
I don't know how you can win a Super Bowl with a number one defense, which is what they did last year, in a Super Bowl where the defense essentially
dominated. They were the reason we won the game.
They were the reason we won the game.
Yes.
And then say, okay, but we're going to lose our best edge. We're going to lose our, you know, Brandon Graham, whatever he was. He was a productive player.
Yep.
We're going to lose our second best defensive tackle. We're going to lose our starting cornerback. We're going to lose our starting safety. We're going to replace them, by the way, with second and third year players who we don't know if are any good.
Guys,
bargain bin players. Like I feel like every time we say that they're definitely the best team in football, we're dreaming that they're the best team in football.
No,
we're
are.
Hoping
you
that
know
we're
why
the
I know
best
they
team
are?
In football.
Because you can't tell me somebody else is better.
But what I can do is tell you that they're with a bunch of other teams. They have the opportunity to be better than those teams.
They already are. You mean they can put more distance between themselves? I agree with you there. That would put more distance. But right now, there isn't a roster in the league that I would rather have than the Philadelphia Eagles roster. There's not a roster in the NFL I would rather have this year and moving forward than the Eagles roster.
I'm saying I don't know how you can win a Super Bowl based on your defense and lose all that on defense and think that you're going to win the Super Bowl again.
Well, here's the thing. Who says we have to win the Super Bowl this year based on our defense?
I do.
Well, I don't. We got some of the best offensive skill position players in the entire league. We are more than capable in going to win the Super Bowl with A.J. Brown, Saquon Barkley, Jalen Hurts, Dallas Goedert, Devontae Smith, and the number one offensive line in football. Like, that's more than enough to go win the Super Bowl. No other offense in the league can boast that type of talent. No other offense in the league. At the quarterback position, receivers, running back, offensive line, tight end, no one can compare. No one.
215-592-9494. Do the Eagles need to go out and get either Trey Hendrickson,
got me in
T.J.
back-to-back mode,
or Jair Alexander? Well, but here's the thing. And it's great to say, and have everybody
back-to-back?
Clap.
We're going back-to-back.
But here's the truth. The truth is that the seventh scoring offense in the NFL can win a Super Bowl with the number one defense.
Yeah.
If you have the seventh-ranked scoring offense in the NFL and the 13th-ranked defense or the 12th-ranked defense, you're not winning the Super Bowl. And that is what I'm looking at this year. They have the same personnel on offense that they had last year.
Here's what people get lost at. And here's why I know, because this happened with you too. That Rams game has clouded a lot of people's judgment. We dominated the Rams. Stop it. I don't care, seven sacks, all of that. We were up, dominating that team, put them away, and then Vic Fangio went to sleep for two drives. Everybody started celebrating. The last 3.5 minutes, that game was over with. The Eagles had dominated that game. Washington wasn't even a contest. The Chiefs weren't even a contest. So this is what I'm saying. Somehow we feel like the opponents are closer than what they really are because we had one little scare because we took our foot off the gas pedal. Not because the Rams outplayed us that day. They played well, but we deserved to win that game. We were the better team that day. We outplayed the Rams. And by the way, we lost one game in 18 weeks, 19 weeks?
With the number one defense in the NFL.
Here's my thing. They weren't all nail biters. It's not like the 2000 Ravens where they had to win 13-10 every week. Yeah, we had the number one defense, but we had a pretty damn good offense. We got a pretty damn good offense that needs to be better this year. What I'm saying is that we're not going to ride the defenses back to the Super Bowl this year. We got to ride the offenses back. Like, that's pretty much what I'm saying. Like, so maybe we have the number 10 ranked defense in the league. All right, we'll have a top five offense with a 10th ranked defense, and that's probably better than most teams in the league.
The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. For the best selection of diamonds to fit every budget, visit the home team at Mark's. Experience the difference at Mark's.
What do you want to add to the
hyphen
equation?
Jewelers. Now, yeah, what do you think?
What do you want to add?
Yeah, what do you think?
No, we're not riding the D this year, riding the O this year.
Oh. Yeah.
That's what I was going to add to that conversation. Yeah. Yep.
Nothing, basically.
Basically, no. But, like, why wouldn't you want to make it could be the best unit in the league again? Like, I'm more interested in Jair Alexander than I am the other two. Like, I realize the financial situation of Trey Hendrickson and where they're going to be with
Jalen. So pay it!
You can't. I don't know what to tell you. You can. But Jair Alexander, there's no excuse.
Okay. Yeah, I'm
there's
with
no
you.
Excuse. Like,
but he has to choose us, too.
Well, why wouldn't he choose us? First off, his soft-ass organization wanted to ban the Tush Push, so he comes to the home of the Tush Push. And, like, it's a chance.
That is a revenge factor right there. Yeah.
They play next year, which is nice. And it's a chance to be a star in Philadelphia, which props up players all the time. I mean, look what we did with Zach Baldwin.
We got Saquon going to the Hall of Fame now.
Yeah, people forget that. But I think they need that kind of move to be they're Super Bowl contenders, but I don't know why it's just like
– we're the number one team in the league.
And guess what? Okay.
You know we are.
In the NFC.
In the AFC?
So listen, the league might –
you don't tell me the Chiefs are better than us?
Bills might be better. The league,
Buffalo?
The league sucks right now, all right? So, like, congratulations. You're the tallest whatever the
second
is.
Now the league sucks.
It does. Dude, the second best team in the NFC is the Lions. They lost both coordinators and whatever. And the third best team is the Commanders. So, come on. What are we talking about?
The Rams.
Well, the Rams are good.
The Rams are
good. All right.
And by the way –
I think the Rams may be the second best.
By the way,
team.
You know who could be real good this year is the 49ers. They have an easy schedule.
Dude, that
they
noodle arm dork quarterback that you love so much.
I don't love
not...
him. He was the number one ranked passer in the NFL 2 years ago.
Yeah, I know.
That's all I'm saying. Your boy was never that. Justin Herbert Justin Herbert was never the number one ranked passer.
My boy's right here.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Right. In front of this crowd? Are you kidding me?
Okay. Everybody's.
E!
All right. Don't.
E!
All right. Twitter question. Time for you to guess.
Yes.
Do the Eagles need to trade for a star defensive player to win the Super Bowl? Yes or no? What do you think the number is?
No.
And what do you think the percentage is at?
I would say 68% no.
71.9% say no.
Wow.
28.1% say yes. There are too many questions. There are too many questions on defense for a team that had the number one defense last year that took them to the Super Bowl. And this dream that all of a sudden the offense is going to be a top three offense with no changes on it, by the way. No changes except for at right guard. That's the only change. And
a downgrade in coordinator.
Well, and
an upgrade in coordinator.
Downgrade in coordinator.
Would you bet the passing offense is better than it was last year?
If I had to bet, I would say yes.
Okay, then. So that's an upgrade in coordinator.
All right, but we have a downgrade in Saquon, most likely.
What do you mean?
Well, most likely we're not getting the same Saquon. We've all agreed on that.
Maybe you don't get 2,000 if he gives you 1,500, 1,400. That's still pretty good.
You've been listening to the best of the Eagles on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.